In the Spirit of Medicine, the essays of family practice doctor and Mille Lacs band member, Dr. Arnie Vainio.
I just got back from Atlanta, Georgia. As a board-certified family practice physician, I need to recertify for my boards this year. This exam covers all of medicine, and no one knows for sure what will be on it. I am a member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, and they offer an intensive course to prepare for the exam. The course was serious business, and the lectures cover the high points of hypertension, strokes, bleeding disorders, endocrinology, musculoskeletal, hyperlipidemia, maternity care, pediatrics, newborn issues, acute coronary syndromes, and everything else we see. Family practice covers the entire field of medicine, and we refer out to specialists for specific diseases if they need procedures or a higher level of specialized care. My flight left early in the morning, and I was in Atlanta the day before the course began. I knew I wouldn't have time once the lecture started, so I took a train, then a bus to the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King Jr. was the preacher. There is a historic center there run by the U.S. National Park Service, with a monument and other things for tourists, but I did not come here to be a tourist. From the moment my hand touched the door handle, I wanted to stand where Martin Luther King Jr. stood, and I wanted to walk the streets he walked. I opened the door, and a woman behind a small counter invited me in. I climbed a short flight of stairs and stepped into the church. Stained glass windows lined both sides, and the light streamed into the congregation area. I was alone, and recorded gospel music and sermons by Dr. King played over the speakers. It didn't take much imagination to see him standing at the pulpit, and I remember the brutal images of the police turning fire hoses on black people, and of a little black girl walking into a public school with U.S. Marshals on both sides to protect her from being assaulted. I thought about four innocent girls dying in a church bombing in Birmingham in 1963. I thought about their families and their overwhelming grief, and I couldn't stop myself from crying. Five middle-aged women came in together, but they sat far apart from each other. I didn't want them to see me crying, but I heard them weeping too. We sat in the church, alone and together, and none of us said anything. I decided not to go back to the bus stop, but to walk a mile or so through blighted neighborhoods to the train station. Certainly Dr. King would have walked those streets and alleys. Graffiti, broken bottles, a syringe, and other signs of poverty were everywhere. I was clearly out of place here, and as I walked, several groups of people stopped talking and simply watched me walk past. I did not feel threatened, but I didn't feel welcome either. A woman came up and asked me for money. I grew up looking for pennies on the ground, and a heads-up penny was good luck if you gave it away. I was thinking about a friend of mine, and I wanted to find one for her in this neighborhood and send it to her. I didn't find it. The next morning, the board's review session started right to the minute at 8 o'clock, and after every two sessions, there was a 60-second break to stand and stretch. After every four sessions, there was a 15-minute break, but this was also the question-and-answer period, and I didn't want to miss any of it. Those breaks, in reality, were less than 5 minutes long. The lunch break was an hour, but with the question-and-answer period turned out to be about 40 minutes, and lunch had to be fast. The sessions were very well organized, and the doctors presenting the material covered it quickly. They were stopped if they went over 30 minutes, and the next presenter was ready to start as soon as one stopped talking. I cannot believe how much information there is in 4 years of medical school and 3 years of residency, and we were covering it all in 3.5 days. By 5:30, I was exhausted and totally overwhelmed with the information presented. I went online and found a soul food restaurant about a mile from my hotel, and I walked there for dinner. On the way back, it was dark and the neighborhood was run down. There were four men standing on a street corner, and I crossed to the other side of the street so I wouldn't have to walk through them. An old man with no teeth stepped out of the bushes and asked me for money. He told me he had AIDS and was living in a homeless shelter. I walked past an abandoned church that had a chain-link fence around it. There was a man smoking a cigarette on the steps, and he asked me for money. I was almost to my hotel when a man was kneeling on the sidewalk, pulling a trumpet out of its case. I was well past him and was about to cross the street when he started to play. Jazz? Blues? I don't know, but it was beautiful and haunting and sad, and there was no way I could not go back to him. We looked into each other's eyes, and he played just for me. His trumpet was dented and tarnished, and the green velvet in the case was worn through in places. The notes went past me and into the darkness behind me, and I could hear them echo off the buildings down the street. He came to a slow passage, and he closed his eyes as he played. I don't know if the song was his or if it was passed down to him. I could hear strains of Africa in his music, and he played from generations of lost and stolen dreams. I was close enough to hear the clicking of his fingers on the keys. One of them seemed to stick a little, but he was used to it and played through. The last notes were fading into the night when he opened his eyes. They were glistening and moist, and he nodded at me. I bent down and put money in his trumpet case. I told him he had a gift, and his music was beautiful. We shook hands, and his was dry and calloused when I held it. As I turned around, I saw something on the sidewalk. I bent down and picked up a heads-up penny. It was only a few years old, but definitely had seen better days. I put it in my pocket and started walking. The trumpet started to play as I crossed the street, and the echoes followed me for a couple of blocks. Then the sounds of the city swallowed them. The review course went fast, and each day was as intense as the one before. I have a 752-page syllabus of the slides presented, and each page has 6 slides. I have notes scribbled on every single one of them. This trip was a pilgrimage. The review course was everything I had hoped for, and is only a part of the studying I need to do. To stand where one of the greatest men in my lifetime stood, and to walk the streets he walked, will stay with me forever. I gave money to everyone who asked. The opportunity to give money to a homeless man with a trumpet was an education in itself. He gave me much, much more than I gave him.
Dr. Arnie Vineo's essays on life, work, medicine, and spirit are published at Indians.com. And you can find the transcript of this story and more on our website at KUMD.org. In the Spirit of Medicine is produced by Dr. Arnie Vineo and Lisa Johnson, with music by Keith Sekola, and funded in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.